In continuing the mission of this podcast these days, which is to talk more about what's going on in our society and its impact on the individual, we're going to talk about the search for the authentic self in a world dominated by the ego. It sounds a little crazy, and I'm a little nervous about doing this, but we're going to do it in podcast 861, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, we're going to talk about a lot of things in this podcast that are kind of, I love talking about this stuff, but some people would say it's super heavy and okay, that's fine. But I do want to bring people back down to earth for a second to talk about heating checks. Now, we're going to have a short heat wave, you know, in the present time frame. We're in the middle of September. There's always a warm up. And then it starts to get cold. So this is the time to call Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business to check the heating. Yeah, you can turn it on and make sure it works. But when it comes to keeping all these systems operating right, you have to have a plumbing or heating service that really understands these systems, because you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Call them about a heating check just to make sure everything is working right. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Also doesn't hurt to have them check the plumbing and everything to make sure that is working. They go back four generations in St. Paul, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business from St. Paul, metro-wide, Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul. Well, I'm going to start by saying I didn't want to do this podcast because it is based on an experience I had with social media recently, and then something happened today which convinced me that, in fact, I have to do this podcast. And so I think this is a good place to start. I didn't want to do another podcast bitching and moaning about social media. I feel like I've been doing that a little bit too much, or taking a long time to tell another story about somebody who heard me on the radio a couple of weeks ago and made a comment, which led me to a thought process about radio listeners, especially talk radio, which of course was very negative. And that's funny because all businesses have customers we would rather not have, right? And when it comes to what I do, I don't want to interface with talk radio listeners at all. It's not a value judgment about who they are. It's just that I'm not interested in what they think, because I find they generally miss the kernel of what I'm talking about. They hear only what they want to hear. So if you bring something up as an aside, some one-issue Charlie out there is going to go nuts on social media. And of course, I have to monitor social media for just this reason. And then I have to take action. And it's an emotional experience. It's taxing. It's negative to have to block somebody or... And I was thinking while I was doing this just recently, why am I even wasting my time worrying about this or this person or this situation? And the thing is, here's the reality. I don't get that with podcasting. And I don't think people who listen to the radio understand this. What you get with podcasting is somebody like Jeffrey Dunn, who liked my podcast on being present so much, and he sent me a nice note. He said, "This is one of the best podcasts you've ever done." And then he sent me $100. Or a longtime listener, Michael Williams, who has now sort of made the move to podcasting. He just retired, and he's been sending me money. He sent me $30 just recently, and he's listening to all the podcasts. So there is a material difference between the quality of audience from radio to podcasting, and that's always been there since I've been doing podcasting since 2009. I noticed that right away. So why am I doing this podcast? That's kind of the base of where I was going to come from in this podcast. And I was kind of struggling with, well, you know, how am I going to get there? And then I was networking with a friend today. And after lunch, we went over to his law office, which is just right around the corner. And we ended up sitting around the lobby, and we were just shooting the breeze. And we were doing this. I mean, we talked for about, it seemed like an hour. And we were talking politics. We were talking about social media and its impact on politics and talk radio and so forth. And why, what I just said, why I don't want calls anymore. And then we started talking about music and business and travel and our history. One of the people that works with this guy had never heard Aerosmith. And we were, she's a country listener. And we were like, no, you've heard Aerosmith. You know, and we were talking about that. And then I was playing Aerosmith songs, and she had never heard the Bee Gees. And we were like, no, you've heard the Bee Gees. And I played Night Fever. She was like, oh, yeah, I've heard that. So we were having a really good time. And during this whole conversation, there was a guy out there putting in a new phone system. So he was behind the reception's desk, and I didn't really know that he was there. And he said, and he came out and made a comment. And this is what convinced me to do this podcast. So this guy was a vendor, and of course he wanted to thank his client. And so he came out and was very polite, waiting for all of us to shut up. And of course we weren't going to shut up. And then so he started contributing to the conversation. And then he said, and I hadn't even discussed this interest or desire to do this podcast this way. And he said, you know, there's a lot of people out there. Now, remember that he was talking about social media, and we were talking about the cesspool that is Twitter, let's say, or, you know, the rat-infested sewer that is Facebook. And he said, you know, there's a lot of people out there that I think are just plain lonely, and that puts them in a very negative, depressed state, and they share that on social media and especially in politics, and it's very sad. Then he said, and I'm saying this way, and he said it this way but I want people to understand he said this in a very humble way. He said, but I find we have some pretty amazing things in this country, and when I am in a state of gratitude, when I am connected to my gratitude, I find that I am pretty happy with my life. And I said, thank you for saying that, because that is exactly what I needed to hear for this podcast that I'm working on that I want to do tonight, because I was struggling with it. Because after all that stuff about social media and talk radio listeners versus podcasting listeners, that's when I started thinking about the authentic self, our inner self, as opposed to ego. So I spend an inordinate amount of time thinking about what to do for the next podcast and what to do with these podcasts. This is the business, because this is what I do. This is the output of the Bob Davis podcast. And I'm trying to figure out how I got to this place of being utterly bored and disgusted with even bothering to talk about the latest debate, a joke, or special election, more predicting of the future, or what someone said on Twitter. And if you're a political commentator and you can't talk about anything else, you're kind of stuck in that roach motel, which I've often said. And I'm sitting here and I was thinking the other night, well, and this is where we get into yoga. And this is where it gets into being kind of a yoga podcast. I started to think about what happens after you do yoga for a while. And then it kind of dawned on me kind of what's going on here. And I want to talk about that in this podcast. This happens, and yogis will know this. It happens whether you want it to happen or not. And that's the thing that's probably the most interesting thing. If you start doing yoga for exercise, let's just say, and it's true, that with me, I started doing yoga one day because I was just angry. My yoga kind of started after 9/11 at Bikram, and I didn't even know what Bikram was. That's the hot yoga that everyone does. It's, you know, people think you're nuts when you do it and so forth. I was riding my bike past the studio, and I went in there and I signed up because honestly, I felt like I was going to explode after 9/11. Now, after 20 years of doing yoga, one of the things I've learned is that you're doing these poses. The poses are designed to teach you to breathe and to slow your mind down and reach the inner self, I guess. I never felt like I was in search of a spiritual conclusion. I wasn't doing it to better the world. I wasn't doing it for any spiritual reasons. And again, some yogis will really identify with this, because a lot of us started just because we wanted to get to some peace of mind, let's say, or he wanted to slow down, or he wanted to stretch, or whatever it was. But one of the things I've learned that you do these things, and you go through this process that in Christian parlance, my understanding would be, is basically devotion, which is designed to meditate on Christ and the Father as a path to salvation. In yoga, the devotion is really about slowing your mind down long enough to meditate on the inner self and or the collective self as a path to enlightenment. So it's the same thing, but in slightly different language and perhaps a slightly different approach, theologically speaking, which in itself can be controversial because certain sects of Christianity feel very strongly about yoga and vice versa, but I don't want to go there. Yoga itself, this is my perception, will take you from where you are when you start to a completely different point some years later. It's a point at which your inner self is what you're working with. The authentic self, the inner self, is what you start tacking to, as opposed to tacking to the ego. The ego wants gratification, verification. The ego wants validation. The ego is triggered. The ego gets angry. The ego wants to be right. It wants material goods. The ego wants to be powerful, and so forth. The inner self wants to convene with the world and all the collective consciousness. If you accept the Jungian approach to it, the inner self, with all due respect to the word, the inner self is love. Let's just say that. The inner self is not aggressive and does not need validation because the inner self knows that really isn't necessary. So you start tacking to the inner self, and eventually or suddenly, things that seem to be so interesting in the material world, whether it's politics, the things we talk about on a day-to-day basis, gossip, issues, sports, the course of conversation through social media and talk radio or CNN or Fox News or any of that stuff, you don't even want to watch them because you don't care. I remember an instructor that I had not too long ago who, when I was doing talk radio, and he said, "What do you do?" And I said, "I do talk radio." And he said, "Oh, you know, what is it?" It was on when I was on KSTP, and it was 1500, and you know, I'm on at 10 p.m. And he listened. He said he was out with his wife, and he said, "Hey, turn this radio station. I want to hear this guy that's my student." And she turned it on for about 30 seconds, and he said, "Turn it off. I can't stand that." And it's just, we laughed about it, but it's because his preoccupation and his interest and where he was tacking to was the inner self, and he was a lot further down the road than I was then. When that process begins in a life, whether it is sudden or gradual, one can experience a very unpleasant sense of friction with the old life. Moreover, you start to develop the ability to manifest, to bring things into the material world, and I want to talk about that in the second half of this podcast. So a lot of this came about as part of my fitness program, which really starts and ends with yoga. There was a time when I went to the gym because I wouldn't even go near a yoga studio because I felt like I was too fat or I didn't know what I was doing and I was embarrassed. And so this is a great opportunity to talk about fitness for a minute. There are lots of big box gyms around, places to work out. I could tell you about Fitness Together in Edina and Maple Grove, and I will a little bit, but it's better if some of the people working with personal trainers at Fitness Together tell you about it. It's private and it's personalized. There's more to come about that, but I want to introduce Roxanne to you, who is a great woman who works out at Fitness Together, and she'll tell you why it's a great place to work out.
The trainers are great. I mean, I've worked with a couple different trainers now, and they're both really good at listening to what I like and what my goals are and helping me try to achieve those without feeling like I'm trying to get a bikini body or you know, lose a bunch of weight. That's not my goal when I go to Fitness Together. My goal is to get stronger, to improve my endurance, you know, to improve my flexibility, to keep my body functioning, because I believe my body is an instrument, not an ornament. And so at Fitness Together, they really support that.
Fitness Together, private, personalized training and nutrition. And that means private training rooms. There's no waiting or distractions. It's just you and your trainer. So the privacy and the time efficiency of the workout is really important. Everyone is unique. And whether you have a high level of fitness and workout experience, or you're just starting out, maybe you were injured or you're just starting to work out to optimize your health, Fitness Together is for you. Fitness Together in Maple Grove, 763-494-0061, in Edina, 952-927-0300. Check them out at fitnesstogether.com. That's all one word, or you can click on the Fitness Together banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com, and that will take you to a contact page where you can choose Edina or Maple Grove, depending on where you are in the metro. Fitness Together. Once again, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for heating checks. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. They go metro-wide from St. Paul. Yeah, once again, yogis will get this. And it really doesn't matter how much experience you have, because we've all experienced some level of this. And I think if I would be so humble as to say, this is the beginning of this process for me. This process of beginning to realize, you know, we're manifesting all the time. What does that mean? I don't mean it in necessarily the New Age sense or in what people would refer to as being woke. I hate those terms. Or what some people call ascension. I don't like that term. I don't think you're ascending. I think you're beginning to become aware of what is going on internally and in your inner self, and you may not realize that we may be. Somebody said to me recently, we're manifesting all the time, we just don't know it. And as time goes on, what happens is you're able to attune to this ability to manifest, which brings up questions about reality. The best way for me to explain it is we have a puny power, or what some might refer to as a great power as humans, to perhaps, in one description, bend the laws of nature just enough to pull the things that our inner selves know are best for us toward us. And that is and can be a very frightening, friction-filled, difficult process where we have this constant push and pull between the ego and the self, because the ego wants to survive. You can either say that we're very small and we struggle to bend the laws of nature, or we are powerful enough to really be able to do it, and we do it all the time, and we don't realize it. Basically, it's this concept of like attracting like. If you're feeding the ego and doing things to feed the ego, you're manifesting to the ego. That might feel good, but it might not necessarily be good in my experience. When you manifest to the inner self, there's not a lot of friction. And so then it becomes a question of, well, what does my authentic self really require? And you get to the point where you think or you realize, not much. And this is why, if I might speak highly of the ego, I would just simply say that ego is necessary for survival. You know, that's what I think that's what drives us to eat. It drives us to love. It drives us to, work. It drives us to, without ego, what would we be? So it's about balance. Somebody said to me recently, the two things exist at the same time. They coexist, the yin and the yang, let's say. I don't know. But the truth is, I am still intrigued by history and historical mechanisms. And if I might say so, politics. My ego is definitely intrigued by it, but I find myself checking myself in the sense that I don't think talking about it is necessarily positive, especially not when you see how people interact on social media. And when you hear people say things like, nobody wants to talk about politics anymore because they just feel like it's a bad place, maybe a number of people are beginning to sort of make this shift. But in terms of the ability to be happy and live in a more friction-free space, that is one of the great benefits and promises of a daily yoga practice. And yes, there are superpowers associated as part of the promise of a strong daily yoga practice. I've experienced them, and they have scared me. But you're not supposed to use those powers. In other words, you're not supposed to direct those powers, let's say, because they do feed the ego, and you will lose it all because you will start feeding the ego again. So remember, I'm a radio guy. I chose radio because I liked music and I liked radio, and I wanted to participate in something that brought those two things together. And I made that choice as a very young kid. I got a big kick out of being inside the radio station and taking the meter readings and pushing the buttons and the whole technology of it, and I still do. I still love being in a radio station, and I still love being on the air. And I had a whole career in music radio because I love to program in music. I love music, and I love to program radio stations, create a radio station, produce a radio station that was on the air all the time, and all the places I worked were music radio stations. And the truth was, I didn't work in talk radio. I certainly listened to talk radio. I was certainly a reader. I certainly had opinions, and strong opinions about stuff, because I was very much in the ego. And especially later with Art Bell, as I've talked about, my favorite radio guy ever, even above the rock and roll guys, I listened to talk radio. But he didn't start to do talk radio until somebody said, you should do a talk show. And I will say this, because I don't want to go on and on about radio. Prior to 9/11, it was much more open topically and fun. And there was you talked about all kinds of stuff rather than just have, talk about politics. And we had a good time. And what happened on 9/11 ruined all of that. And obviously the first thing that ruined it before 9/11 was the election of 2000, where people got super partisanized. And if you fast forward today on that same track, and this is why I say nothing's changed in talk radio, it's still the same conversation. If you continue down that whole line of reasoning, it has become highly partisan. And so when you fast forward to today, and based on what I've been doing, and I could do a whole podcast about that process from the 90s through 9/11, but I won't. What I have concluded is we need something new in terms of conversation about this stuff. Yes, I started doing yoga after 9/11, and it was the beginning of the creation of that friction. A lot of weird things happening in my life, and I have let it play out, and I've gotten from one place to the next. And this is what I mean about yogis knowing this. A daily practice will take you from one place to the next, and we may not realize it's the yoga that's doing it, whether we want it to or not. I certainly didn't, but I'm really glad that it did, because yoga teaches you through breathing to access your inner self, your higher self, your attuning to your authentic self, not your ego. And as that process takes hold and begins to develop some momentum, and as I said, the ego is good too, but without even trying, you change your life in a really positive way. And that's a whole different smoke from bitching and moaning about people and their BS comments on Twitter or Facebook or whatever else. As I said, I was thinking to myself the other day when I started thinking about this, what do I really want to talk about? What's really interesting to me? And guess what? It isn't the special election in North Carolina. It isn't the machinations of politics today. It isn't I see this as a very base thing, not dissimilar to being a cop or a nurse, where you see people at their worst, or being involved in some kind of completely ego-driven gratification like drugs or sex or prostitution or gambling or any vice. And there's the word vice, because these days I see politics very much as vice, whether you are on this end of the spectrum or that end of the spectrum, up, down, right, left, it doesn't matter. Does that mean if somebody's an activist in their community or an idealist and they work hard because they want to do something in their community or they want to change something or fix something that they're wrong to do it? No. It's just that's not what we're doing right now in this conversation we're having. And the problem with politics is that if you're that guy, you end up fighting for your life in the most base manner because you have to. And it will change you and force you to become more ego gratified, because that is the nature of politics, the devil's business. So in the end, I wonder whether what we're witnessing with all the lonely people and the social media and the de-evolution of human potential, the potential to care about and cooperate with each other enough to solve problems, that's what really interests me about the current time frame, because I think at some point here, the real opportunity is going to be picking up the pieces and figuring out what the politique is going to be going forward. And I don't think you can do that if you're going to be partisanized. And so what I'm doing in the current time frame when it comes to outcomes, and what we talk about here are outcomes as opposed to speculation and predicting the future, then I can kind of get some distance. And I wanted to share what is kind of going on and why that's happening. And I think it's just exactly the right thing. And I didn't think that until I heard the guy say, what I see on social media is an awful lot of really lonely people. And I find that when I engage in that, I'm also lonely and depressed. But when I'm in my gratitude, I find out that my life is actually pretty good. I had a dispute with a landlord recently, and I was really worried I was going to have to move, and I didn't know where I was going to move to. And I was at yoga, and I said to this woman, I was really upset. And I remember I cut through that class like butter. I didn't even know I was in there. And I said, I don't really want to be homeless. And she goes, yeah, well, look at those people in the Bahamas. They are literally without clothing. They're out there with nothing. At least you have a truck that you can live in down by the river. So I really like where I am. I really like being able to talk about this stuff without being so partisanized and angry. And that's a big difference from where I was 20 years ago, 25 years ago. So, and I wasn't going to talk about it until that experience. So that's how these things come together to manifest. So I hope that you have enjoyed this, because I have. And that's really all that matters. And just a reminder, you know, we are still talking about trade and trade protection and tariffs in the news. And a lot of companies that are manufacturing overseas are starting to bring some of their manufacturing back to the U.S. You need to have a great manufacturing company here in the United States. If this is you, if you are in the decision-making chain for a company where they're looking for American manufacturing, go no further than DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing, right here in Ramsey, Minnesota. Visit their website at DepoStar.com. That's DepoStar, DepoStar.com. All right. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis podcasts on Spotify, Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, Google Play, TunedIn Works with Alexa. We had lunch today with these guys, and my friends and I were having lunch, and you know, somebody said, well, how do I get the podcast? And this lawyer's young associate said, oh, I'll show you. And he went right to Spotify. Spotify is great for Android devices and easy to listen to on. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. Appreciate your donations. Jeffrey Dunn, Michael Williams, John Holland at thebobdavispodcast.com for Mobile Podcast Command. Thanks for listening to podcast 861. Poop. Holy, holy, dream of all. Touch on me.